would, let's stand. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2 today. And I was tempted to ask, how many of you were at first service? But hopefully none of you were at first service. So I know that first service, they're all serving out second service. But anyway, this is today and the next several weeks, this is going to be intense. This is 2 Peter chapter 2. And all I can say is wow on this. This is hard stuff. It's hard stuff to teach. And yet, I trust that I'll sense the Holy Spirit in my heart and in my mouth, like first service. But where we're going today in the next several weeks, it's not the portion of Scripture that causes church growth. Let's put it that way. But it does induce church health. We're looking at a message today starting, and now for the next few weeks, eyes on, ears on. That's a combat special ops address or announcement. Eyes on, response back, eyes on. Right? Ears on, ears on. Means we're ready to go, we're watching, we're listening. And we're doing this because 2 Peter is all about combat faith. And so I'll read 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 3. If you would read responsively verse 2. We're reading out of the New King James Version Bible. If you don't have it, it'll be on the screens here right now. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning here. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Verse 3, by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Father, we pray, I pray, Lord, that you would be the deliverer of your word to your people today. Father, that you would move by your Holy Spirit's invitation, because our Bibles are open. Your Holy Spirit has been pledged and promised that whenever the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted, the Spirit of God will be there. And we pray, Lord, that you would reveal to us greater and greater light, greater and greater truth, that we might walk in these end times, these last days, on the straight and narrow. True believers, effective believers, Spirit-filled believers, until the end. And Lord, as we've just read already, that even among us in this second service of today, whole new church this morning at second service, that if there would be those that are not of us, that today, Father, that your word would either convert them or drive them far from here. We receive this morning the seriousness of your word. And in the late hour of your church on the earth. And we ask you, Father God, that you would be with us as we continue to worship you now in spirit and in truth. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Eyes on, ears on. The challenge, the call. Church, remember when we talk about the Bible, we're reading what was written 21 centuries ago. 2,000 years ago, Peter is writing. He's now, you know this, he's now elderly. This is old Peter. This is no longer big, bold, loud Peter. This is now senior Peter. This is Peter who is a gray hair or gray beard and weathered. Not just weathered by the sun as a fisherman and by the elements and hard work and what working all night would be as a fisherman on the Galilee. But most importantly, he's weathered as a senior fellow in the ministry of Jesus Christ. He's advanced in age now. He has seen a lot. And these closing arguments found in 2 Peter, as it shifts into the theme of combat faith, he's telling them the things that are most dear to him and beneficial to them, the reader. The first century church that was dispersed throughout that region of the Roman Empire. And it's vital, it's important. And those letters, by the way, would have gone out by way of manuscripts, letters. So 2 Peter was written and sent out. And this is the wonderful thing about your Bible, that when something was written, be it Paul writing to the Corinthians or John writing his gospel, it's copied. So hypothetically, if Peter wrote 2 Peter to the saints in Los Angeles, the believers would have copied it down and would have sent out an exact replica, are you with me, to the saints in Albuquerque and Chicago, Salt Lake, New York, are you with me? And by this doing, by the way, the word of God went out and covered the known world to the point that as we sit here today, there are nearly 14,000 manuscripts of the Bible that exist today. In other words, you can look at the Bible and know for a fact that what you're reading from Scripture has the longevity of the last 2,000 years. And if you have any doubt, then you need to remember that in 1947, the Dead Sea Scrolls were unearthed in Qumran in those various caves that many of us have been there. And out of those pots, those clay jars, they pulled out those ancient manuscripts. And if you have an old King James Version Bible, the Israeli archaeologists, they got the Bible out of those pots, and they opened up the old King James Version Bible, and verbatim was the word of God present. I believe that not only did God give the Bible, but I believe that God preserves the Bible. And I'm excited, by the way. This is a side note. It has nothing to do with our study exactly, but I'm excited about right now what's happening. My phone's going off, because of what's happening in Iran right now. The people are protesting and demanding that their leadership step down, and there are groups that tried to burn the American flag, and a bunch of young people came in and rescued the American flag, and I'm not here to talk about the American flag. What I'm saying is they're looking for freedom. And you know what we ought to do as a people, as a Judeo-Christian worldview person, is pray and do our part. Maybe the door will open to get Bibles into Iran. Could you imagine with all the news that's going on that the next thing is that we, I mean this lovingly, that we bomb Iran with Bibles, that we fly over at 40,000 feet and drop pallets of Bibles? Wouldn't it be tremendous? Truth. The word of God gets out. You can't hold it back. China builds a wall. God steps over the wall. There's an iron curtain. God walked right through it. The word of God is available. But just know this, what you are holding in your hand is the most authenticated document, information system known to mankind. Right now, right here, in your Bible. And it, from its inception, I say inception, in, from its release, in print, Old Testament to New, continues to change the world. Colossians chapter 1. By the way, this is all introduction to where we're going. We're not going to get far today. This is big stuff. We're going to be talking about deception. How do we have our ears on, our eyes on, all that stuff. But listen, Colossians chapter 1 verse 6 tells us regarding the going forth of the word of God and people coming to Christ. It says, which has come to you, the gospel, the teaching of the word, it's come to you as it has into all the world. My goodness. And bringing forth fruit as it is also among you since the day you, what? Heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Ears on, eyes on. John's gospel. John echoes that same dynamic power in John chapter 21. John's now wrapping up his gospel. I believe If you've never read John's gospel, maybe you're a new believer, or maybe you're not a believer at all. You ought to read John's gospel first. And in John 21, he's just about done. In verse 25, John says this, "And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." The ministry of God, the manifestation of the Word of God, Jesus Christ, into the world. Now, church, setting up chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 3, look down, look back in your Bible, just look a little bit to the left, and look at 1 Peter 1:19, would you? That has to be looked at before we launch. 1 Peter 1:19 begins, Peter says, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed." Notice it's past tense. The revelation of the word of God has been confirmed, which you do well to heed to as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. That's the coming of Christ. Look at verse 20. Knowing this first, priority one, eminently so, is this understanding that no prophecy or revelation of Scripture is of any private interpretation, meaning you can't make it up for your own self. You can't take the Bible and bend it to meet your interpretation or your view. No, the Bible changes your view. The Bible tells you what's right. You don't tell it what's right. The Word of God speaks the truth. Verse 21, "For prophecy or the revelation of Scripture never came by the will of man." I like that. That's a mic drop moment. Boom! Well, didn't man write the Bible? Yes and no. Look at the answer. Prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were possessed, moved, activated. If I can put it this way, enthusiasmed. Enthusiasmed. God dwelt within them and so moved them as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's a huge claim because the Bible is without error in the original languages. Man cannot do that. God did that. The validity and the strength of God's word. If you think nations are attacking nations, those are just the wars that you see with your naked eye. The greatest ongoing attack from the beginning of time is the attack that Satan and his cohorts have against the Bible. To pollute it, dilute it, misrepresent it, to change it. And if he can't beat it, which he cannot beat it, what he does is he joins it. And we all know that when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness after 40 days of fasting and he was nigh unto death, then Satan appeared to him. And what did he use against Jesus? The very Bible, Scripture. He did exactly what Peter warned against, private interpretation. And so we come to this portion. Church, we're going to be looking at our first argument in this about eyes on and ears on as believers, and it's found in verse 1. And how far we'll get, I should probably give this disclaimer. I am at a loss this morning at giving this teaching, and I thought it was just me, and then I started reading a whole lot of commentaries from writers from a whole long time ago, and they were kind of having a hard time. So then I went back to my pastor. I went back to Pastor Chuck, and I clicked on to see what he had to say about this 25 years ago. And he gave his argument, but to me it just didn't seem like it was adequate enough. And I thought, I need more. And I went looking around, seeing what other Bible teachers that I respect and love had to say. And I was still left a little empty, to be honest with you. And I felt odd about that. And I thought, Lord, what am I going to say? I've read the ancients, and it's awesome what they have to say. The meaning of the words, those are obvious. The history, got it. The theology of it, I get it. But the application of it is where I'm struggling. And I wish I could snap my finger all of a sudden. And I mean, listen, I love you. Don't take this the wrong way. And I'm not saying this to throw a blessing back at God. But this just happens to be second service. And this is one church of three that meet every Sunday morning here at this address. And there's a part of me that, where we're going on this, I wish that this was a church of about 50 people. Now, it might be 50 people after this series. But I have this faith in God, it'd be 50 healthy believers. And you're going to see why here in a moment. Because it's alarming what you're going to learn. I guarantee you this. You can go down to the Christian bookstore and you can buy the little memory verse cards that you memorize. You know those memory scripture memory cards? And it's not going to have 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3 on it. You're not going to get that in there. And say, ooh, oh, that just really makes me feel good today. I got one of the promises of God. There's going to be false teachers and false prophets among us. And they're going to tear a bunch of people up. And Peter doesn't care what's in the promise card at the bookstore. He cares about the truth. Number one, mark it down if you would. Eyes on, ears on is the fact we're watching out and listening for false ministries. Did you know that, everybody? We're to be looking and watching, listening for false ministries. In verse 1, it says, but there were also, you ought to circle the word also. That's not very comforting. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. Boom. Absolutely, statement of fact, no apology. Peter says, all right, here's the deal. There were false prophets among the Jewish hosts in the wilderness and throughout Israel's existence. That's what he's referring to in verse 1 up at the opening's argument. There were false prophets among the Jewish people. And listen up, church, there's going to be false teachers among you. Wherever people are gathered together who love the Lord Jesus Christ and the Bible is open, guess what? Instantly, by decree of God, we know. False brethren, fakers, wolves will seek to move in. You know what's scary about a big church? Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Listen, do I have your attention? Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that when it's planted in the ground, it grows into a shrub and into a great tree. Mustard seeds don't do that. That's abnormal growth. That's weird. And then he confirmed it. And then the birds of the air will lodge in its branches. Did you know that's a warning? You say, oh man, we want our church to grow like a mustard seed. No, you don't. Jesus was warning that as time went on and as the church grew, it was going to be compromised because growth does not translate into truth. Oh, there's a lot of people going there. That could be good or bad. No, it's a warning. And it's a strong one because we look at verse 1 and what we're learning about eyes on, ears on is that they, look, mark it, they are here. They're here. They were in the Old Testament and he said, look at the strong word. He says, even as there will be, not maybe, there will be false teachers among you. False teachers. Strange promise, but I'm grateful for it. False teachers meaning they have doctrine that's off. It's not biblically based doctrine. It could be in an area. It could be in more areas. Could be a whole lot. And listen, we are not talking about the run-of-the-mill cult that knocks on your door. That is so obvious. It's ridiculous. We're not talking about them. They're so gone. He's talking about people that are in our midst. And another place, Paul's going to warn us that they're going to rise up from among our own selves, with us, false believers. And they're to be flushed out, they're to be known, and that's the job of the Holy Spirit, and that's how he uses the Word of God. But we as believers need to be leaning on the Bible with eyes open and ears open. So listen to what Paul has to say in Acts chapter 20. This is now Paul the Apostle, and he is addressing the leadership of the church in the area of what is Turkey today. Acts chapter 20, verse 26. Paul says and puts it this way, "Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men." Wow. Don't you wish you could say that? I wish I could say that. It means Paul told people about Jesus everywhere he went, and whoever would listen, he would tell them. Can you say that? I can't say that. I wish I could say that. He went on to say in verse 28, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer." He's talking to the leaders. "To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Listen, pause right there for a moment. If a church leadership group, whatever you want to call it, team, has got some leadership attitude that there's something, I don't care if it's an evangelist, I don't care if it's a pope, I don't care by what name that church or movement goes by, if they put themselves out in front as being the ones that will tell you the real meaning. He's telling you here to watch out. How do we know? Because Jesus bought the church with his own blood. Amen. There is no priest, there is no pastor, there's no leader that can say that but one. You've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ at the cross. Verse 29 of Acts chapter 20, "For I know this," listen to what Paul says, "I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." Stop right there. Keep the verse up. What I should have done today was showed a video right now of like National Geographic or Smithsonian, or what are some of those nature programs, you know? You ever see those programs where the little water buffalo, the little baby water buffalo? He's going down, he's thirsty, cute little guy. He makes his way right down to the edge of the water. You ever see those programs when you're channel surfing? Or the gazelle is going right down there, and my wife can't handle that. Lisa, she's, when she sees a baby water buffalo near the water, and it's on TV, she says, turn it. I don't want to see that. Of course not. You know what I'm talking about, right? I should have gone to YouTube and put up alligators eat baby gazelle. You say, "Oh, that's horrible. Pastor, stop. Shame. That's terrible." Because you know what happens. The alligator is so fast, lunges out of the water, grabs that little gazelle by the head. Running around, and then the alligator starts turning, and there's meat and stuff flying everywhere. There's bone, cartilage, and fur, and horrible blood. The water's turning red. And you go, "Stop!" That's exactly what Peter is trying to get the believers to see. In the spiritual realm, that's exactly what Satan will do. He will go about, him and his cohorts, his demonic host of spirit powers, and they're looking, and just as we watch something get eaten alive by a lion on TV, it's worse when something spiritual is beginning to try to devour your soul. They prowl, they hide, they blend in, they look alike. These kind of wolves, though, these are not wolves. We've all watched wolves. Wolves are scary enough. You go to Wyoming, you go to Canada and Alaska, the wolves, they have deadpan face. They're just emotionless. You know what they're doing? They're following the pack of elk or caribou for days. And then one of them, maybe it's an old one, maybe it's an old elk, maybe it's a young baby calf, and it just stops, and the wolf stops. And they hang their head down, very coy. They hang their head down. It's like, "I'm not coming toward you. You don't see me coming." Have you seen this? And they get really close. And sometimes it's just with a lunge that they just get a little nip, or sometimes they just go for the throat and hang on. And then the rest of the clan pack comes in. Isn't it interesting that the Bible equates false pastors, false teachers, false prophets, false ministries with wolves. You see, well, it's natural. We're sheep. He calls us sheep. Yeah, it's true. Wolves are very brilliant, and I think it's a perfect setup for this that he's warning us. He tells us in Acts chapter 20, still going on, for this, verse 29, I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things. This doesn't mean they cuss. Perverse things, spiritually perverse things. Things that are not doctrinally correct. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, this is why I feel so inadequate this morning. I'm having you, for an hour, look at the Bible, and you and I live in a world that's 7 days a week, 24/7, 365, constant bombardment at your fingertips, internet, you can be deceived in a second, and you don't even know who's doing it on the other end. They can say any kind of status. They can say, oh, I'm the professor of theology at blank and so, and this, and you don't know. And there's a part about it, it's like, that's interesting. Watch out when something is interesting. That's where it begins. You say, well, pastor, but I just grow up being dumb. No, you grow up being very smart. Read the Bible and let it be the judge of everything you read on the internet, everything you hear on the radio, everything you watch on TV. Let the Bible be your guide, and you'll never have to worry about wolves. In fact, wolves will stay away from you because the enemy knows that you know. You got your eyes on. You got your ears on. You know, I find it interesting. It's not in the notes, but it's important. You know, the Word of God is all powerful. And what does the Bible refer to itself as being the Word of God? The sword of the Spirit. Do you know how you kill a wolf? If you live among wolves, do you know how you kill a wolf? You take a knife, big one, and you dip the knife in like cow blood or goat blood or some whatever blood, something blood. Did you know that you dip it and you let it freeze, and then you dip it and you let it freeze until you make a blood popsicle? I'm not joking. Think of the application regarding the Word of God. And then you fasten that blood popsicle to a piece of wood, something firm, and the wolf will come because he smells the blood, and he'll lick the popsicle. And then he'll keep licking the popsicle. And he tastes blood because that's a blood popsicle. And then his tongue starts getting cut, and all he tastes is blood. He keeps licking the knife until all of the popsicle blood is gone, and now it's his blood he's drinking. And the wolf will kill itself because he's wrongly handling the Word of God. He's wrongly at the wrong end of the sword, as it were. And without firing a shot and without any sweat, that animal will be destroyed because, you're getting my analogy? The Word of God, the sword, is the great power. And we want to remember that. But according to the Bible, they're among us. False teachers. You say, not here. No, not mainly here. Well, who is it? It's that person right over there. Oh, no, I'm kidding. See, you can make me nervous. You were looking in my direction when I went. No, but you know, wherever God, look. Don't be upset by this. Jesus was a pastor of a church of 12 people. And one of them was a devil. Think of it. Judas went and performed miracles. Where is he today? Wherever God is moving, the enemy is going to be moving. And the only way that's going to separate you from danger into safety is the Bible. Because the Holy Spirit will use the Word of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Are you guys okay? Everybody all right? 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. 1 John 4, 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Oh my goodness. Do not believe every spirit. Listen, church. Oh, I was watching her program. She's so sweet. Calm down. Oh, I think he's so funny. I turn him on all the time. Yeah, I don't understand everything, but be careful. Watch out. Why does he say this, and why do we need to know this? By the way, 1 John, he's writing to believers. He says, test the spirits. You need to ask yourself the question, how do I test the spirits? Now, you do understand, he's actually saying, you the believer, when you're talking to somebody else who's talking about spiritual matters, you need to judge what that person's telling you by the word of God. Don't you love the Bible? In other words, look past the skin. Look past the hair. Look past the teeth. There's a spirit inside that individual. That's what we're talking about. It's not the identity of the face. It's what's coming out of them, because what's coming out of them is something that's embedded within them. And what is it? Is it the spirit of truth? Or is there a different spirit? He goes on. Whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this we know that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. By the way, quickly, that word, that statement means exactly what it says without manipulation. Jesus, the Savior of the world, Christ, the one and only Messiah. You say, well, I've got cults knocking on my door. They say that Jesus has come in the flesh. Yeah, but listen, people, mark this down. Cults and false believers use the same words you and I do, but they don't use the same dictionary. Their words, their Jesus is different. Their salvation doctrine's different. We'll see this in a moment. And so he says, verse 3, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming. Isn't that amazing? They knew back then that that man was coming. But there's a spirit about it, and even now is already in the world. Tremendous. So they're here. Bible study group at work. Could be there. Small groups, something or other, could be there, anywhere. How many of you are Christians? Raise your hand. Wherever you go, there could be a wolf walking a couple hundred feet away from you, right? Waiting for you to pause. Waiting for you to spiritually twist your ankle. Maybe you're a little angry at God because he didn't give you the lotto numbers or something. I don't know. Maybe, you know what, you don't understand, so you're something. The guard is down, and you're a little weak. You're a little weak, and the enemy, the wolf sees that. Now look, number one, if you're a true believer, the wolf will try to silence you. He can't take your soul. Can I repeat that right now? If you're a born-again believer, your soul is safe. The enemy can only neutralize you. He cannot take you to hell. You are not going to be lost after you've been found. Okay? If you're born again, you cannot show me a scripture where you're unborn again. Here's what I want to stress. Do not be content to just be a believer. You must take that belief all the way through to faith in Christ. That's something that you've got to find out for you. Only you can find that out for yourself. That's between you and God. Secondly, mark it down. Eyes on, ears on, regarding us watching out and listening for false ministries is the fact that they are active. Oh boy, are they ever active. They're active because, listen, first of all, the hierarchy that has created them was created by man. Number two, it will always be a hierarchical group that control its masses of followers. And because it's not of God. They all, it's so quiet in here right now. I hope it's because you're listening and not because you're watching the game right now. Their whole thing is, to them, the grace of God is disgusting. We love the grace of God. To them, the law is what you keep. To us, the law is what points to how unrighteous we are and how much we need the Savior, one and only. No. They come along and say, you need to do these 10 things and you'll get a mark. And after you get this from your team leader, then you'll move on to the next step. And then after you do this for a year, you're going to get this thing, or you need to show up to this place, and then this thing happens next, and then you're going to receive this thing, and then we're going to send you out, and you're going to go do those things, and it's all do. And it's laborious and exhaustive. It's legalism. And it promises you salvation, and you'll never have peace. If you're in a cult today, you have no peace. You never know if you're going to be good enough. There can be a church down the street with a cross on its steeple, with Bible open in the pulpit, but if it's saying to you, you need to keep the law to be saved, that is a ministry that has at the very least fallen from grace. But when Christ comes in and saves a life, he transforms you. You say yes to the law. It's holy, but I can't keep it. But I want to. God's grace comes in those moments when we fail. Salvation is all of Christ, all of God. And these false ministries, I'm going to give you a simple way to identify them. Some of them pedal up to your house, and some of them silently creep up to your house and knock on the door. Those are the big obvious ones. They all deny the deity of Christ, and they all offer to you something else to read. Every one of them. They're adding to the scriptures, adding to the request of God for you to know him personally. They say, no, it's this way. Look what it says in verse 1. They will secretly bring in destructive heresies. If you have an old King James Bible, do you have anybody who have an old King James Bible right now? What does the, can you read that, what I just read a moment ago? They secretly bring in what? Old King James. Damnable heresies. Is that a pretty strong word? That's exactly what it means. They bring in false teaching that condemns you. They peddle false doctrine. They themselves are condemned. They peddle it. And it's almost like that wolf licking the blade. They get into it. They get you into it until you are feverishly committed to trying to get life. And it drains you of your own vitality. And you eventually die without Christ, exhausted, worn out. Jesus said in another place, we'll cover it in a few weeks. Jesus said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You see to it that you travel land and sea to make one convert to your traditions, and you make them worse than the children of hell than you are yourselves. You bar up their chance to go to heaven. You yourselves will not make it as well. Jesus' words. False teachers will do this, and they're out and about. More now, I believe. I'm aware in my humanity. I could exaggerate. I could lie about it. I could go emotional about it. I could do what about it. So I am aware of that. So here it comes. After that declaration, let me say this. In the age that you and I are living in right now, in this world, with the internet, with everything that's out there, with the craziness of the hour, I believe there's more people walking around with religions that most of us have never, ever heard of that have been made up down the street 2 days ago. There's false prophets and false teachers all over the place. And how are you going to know? The Bible. Just know your Bible. You don't have to study those crazies. Study your Bible. And you'll know. Secretly. The word secret means, and I mark this down, it means by stealth. They will, in a stealthy manner, bring in the falsehood. They will sneak it in. The word covert comes from there. Cloaked. What comes to your mind when you think of the word cloaked? It's cloaked. You remember this? It's like this. Cloaked. Oh, with the robe or the... It comes in like that. You can't see. Very subtle. Oh, it's really great. It's really great. This is a little thing off. Without detection or without early detection, Albert Barnes says it powerfully in Old English. He says, they come with plausible arts and pretenses. In other words, they have a plan to deceive. They know the truth, but they go against, they don't believe it. So what they offer up, they know that there's many other offers on the market, but they have their own. With the intent to deceive. A friend of mine, just ministry going gangbusters and all, for some reason, somehow, I don't know why, was talked into going, I won't mention the name, was talked into a local university in Southern California, Christian University. I think in the Pasadena area. Just off, I think it's the 210, right? Ministering, loving God, excited, God's blessing, goes to this university. And the professor says, welcome to the first day of class. I'm Professor whatever. And you all need to know that I'm a great teacher. I have all my degrees in this, history, antiquities, this, blah, blah, blah. But I'm not a Christian, so don't try to convert me. I don't care to be a Christian. I'm not a Christian. I'm your professor. Excuse me. The problem was he's at a Christian university. Yeah. And so he's thinking, I'm okay, well, thanks for the disclaimer. And so on time goes, and it affected him. That man's authority, that man's wisdom and insight and knowledge was so impressive that it got into my buddy. And it changed some of his views. Key views. That's how they do it. After last service, first service, somebody told me that their daughter was attempted to be swept away by a local cult because they're a bunch of young people, very excited, very happy. Then they come in and they befriend people. They target places like Barnes & Noble and Starbucks. They look for a kid that is studying and they go up and they introduce themselves. Hey, what's going on? What are you doing? What are you studying? And they begin to introduce and invite them to deception. They're not only here, they're active. You know, and they have to be active. Our salvation is based upon the activity of Christ. Their salvation is based upon their works. You can't have it both ways. Faith in Christ alone, the Bible says, saves you. And if that's true in your life, then you'll have works that come out of your life because you are saved. You don't do good works to earn God's smile so that you'll get saved. That's cult-like thinking. God condemns that thinking. They'll secretly bring in destructive heresies. Bringing in, the word bringing in means to have strapped alongside, to bring it in by stealth, strapped alongside, sneak it in. Nobody knows. They've got this spiritual weapon of spiritual deception, and they bring it in, you can't detect, because you know what? They talk Christianese. They talk like we talk. They just come in right alongside. They look like us, talk like us. Praise the Lord. Here's what I found, and not all of them, but some of them. Maybe you have too. They're a little over the top sometimes. You know what I mean by that? Oh, bless God. Oh, hallelujah. Everything is like, really? Really? It's just too much. Another did giveaway is how they communicate to you ever so humbly how much more enlightened they are than you are. They'll show you the way. Oh, they'll show you the way, all right. They're very active. The word bringing in also hints about the word that we would use of contaminants or particulates, dust. You know, dust is not a problem until you see it. Would you agree? Dust is not a problem until you breathe it. Do you agree? You know, we have lighting in here right now that is a certain kind of lighting so that it's good for us and it's healthy for us. But you know, there's certain like spotlight, intense lighting that you can see stuff floating in the air. Have you ever seen that happen? And especially if it happens in your own house, don't you feel horrible? You're in your own home and somebody, oh, look at this. It's an awesome flashlight. Thanks. Oh, great Christmas gift. Turn it on. Turn it off. I didn't know that was in my house. These things are floating by in the beam of light. I thought we were breathing air a moment ago. You breathe in all this stuff, particulates and these contaminants. Look, people come to me and I understand this. Hi, Pastor. They shake my hand, give me a hug. Yeah, what's going on? Did you get that? They shake my hand, give me a hug. And then I say, what's going on? Oh, I knew I should have stayed home today. I've been so sick. But I just had to come. I want you to pray for me, please. Just pray that God would heal me because I think I have pneumonia. And so, will you pray? And it's, and you, this stuff, if you could see what's flying. That's how the false teacher is. It's coming out. And those doctrines are looking for a place to land. And you don't, if you don't have a spiritual immune system on, you're going to get it. Charismatic, educated, flamboyant, fun. Whatever, the enemy will adjust like a chameleon that changes its color to its moment? That's what they do. Destructive heresies. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Paul writes to the church in Greece. Sounds like today. He says, I fear. I'm very concerned. Lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Mom, stop there for a second. Wait, the gospel's what? Jesus Christ died on this cross for the sins of all mankind, exactly as it said according to the prophets. The Bible says that if you confess that he is Lord, that you confess that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again from the dead, you'll be saved. But that's it? Well, if you believe what you just said, what I'm saying, for him to die on the cross for your sins, it means that you're a sinner and you need his forgiveness. That's all I got to do? You know what I find amazing about that? It's so simple. It's so simple, a little kid gets it in an instant. It's so deep that an older person struggles with it, sometimes even to their own destruction. Because the gospel is so simple, it insults your pride and your arrogance. Give me something to do, and then I'll make it. No. Believe on him whom God has sent, and you shall be saved. Did you know that's offensive to people? It offends them. But Paul goes on to the Corinthians. Verse 4, he says, "For he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we've not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." Paul is saying to the Corinthians in Greece, "I'm really concerned. You guys know the truth, but you're so weak that if somebody comes along and says, 'Hey, you want to know about this other part of Jesus and this other part of the message? Oh, let me tell you.'" He says, "You might entertain them." Why? Because they didn't have discernment. They lacked discernment. They're active. And they're out and they're about. The word destructive, and we're gonna end with this because it's because we're out of time. The word destructive is, as the old King James, it's damnable or condemning. It means, listen, the word means, interesting word, it means that the false teacher, false prophet, brings you some teaching and they offer you another choice. As humans, we like another choice. We like that. We like our options. We like options. We're suckers for options. But wait, there's more, says the commercial. Ooh, honey, listen, there's more. Write the number down. If we buy one, we get two. Right? And this destructive, it's a word that implies that you're pressured to choose. We have to end with this. You'll be pressured to choose. In other words, listen, I don't mean this, and this will be edited for radio or else I'll get shot, I'm sure. But if you're a Muslim and you decide to become a Christian, or you're thinking about it, your Muslim family will intervene on you and they will highly encourage you. They will pressure you to stay. If you're in Mormonism, you're not leaving. Unless at great cost to you. Why? Because you're pressured. Have you noticed in Christianity, by the way, none of us should ever pressure anyone into making a decision for Jesus, right? Because if I can pressure you into it, someone can pressure you out. It's not by compulsion. If it was by compulsion, God would have the whole world saved. And yet the Bible says that he desires the whole world to be saved. He desires that all would come to him. But then he turns right around and says, "But not all come to me." These cults, they will pressure you into choosing them. It's us or them. It's this group or those guys. Hey, look, I'm telling you, not on my authority, that you ought to choose the Bible. Choose God, not that group. Can I change it up just a little bit? It's a scary day when, look at the air quotes, when some Christian church says, "You got to be a member of our church." If you're not a member of our church, I don't know. That's sick. Are you hearing me? Were you baptized in our water? I don't know. If you weren't baptized in our water, I don't know. We got special water. You laugh, I'm telling you. Watch out for that. Because today's, for me anyway, just intense. It's different for me. I wrote myself in my notes, "I'm going to deliberately end early so people can ask questions and we can pray." I did end early. It's still 47, 46 seconds left. Anyone have a question regarding this portion of scripture? Please have a question. So I can keep my word. Anybody, seriously. About false prophets, false teachers. Come on, first service had questions. Yes.
There is so much out there, and we're being inundated with it at all times from every
Every angle. Every angle. So the bombardment coming in from every angle. She says the stuff's coming in from every angle. It's going to come in from every angle. This is the only way that you're going to... This is the plumb line. I think it's the book of Amos that talks about the vision of the plumb line. This is the plumb line. Okay? Can I actually do this? Hopefully this works. See how well these guys made this Bible. See that? See that? This is the plumb line, the Word of God. This tells you what's leaning right, left, this way, that way. This does. This is what makes the decision for you. God is so good, you don't have to study all the other stuff you're talking about. It's impossible. Impossible. You need to know this. Next question, quick. Come on. Yes. Thank you. Great. Perfect. Jesus said, my sheep will only hear my voice. They won't follow a stranger. Thank you for saying that. That's exactly right on. Jesus said regarding his people, his sheep, they will not listen to the voice of a stranger. A stranger they will not follow. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Did you know that's a statement of fact by the Messiah himself? I want to end with this. Anybody might remember, maybe not, Dr. Walter Martin, years ago. If you don't know who I'm talking about, this is going to come across a little rough. He was a profound theologian. Lisa and I used to go to his classes, and he had an amazing ability to teach, but he had a sarcasm. I think he was very Pauline-like. I think Paul was very much like that, where he taught with a sarcasm. And in one of his things I'll never forget, him saying this, I saw it in real time, it affected me, and it's never left me. He was teaching, he's the author, by the way, of the book Kingdom of the Cults. You should buy it, by Dr. Walter Martin. In fact, you guys can stand, we're all done, for real. So, Walter Martin said, I thank God for the cult down the street from our church. And I went. And he said, because all those people have religious yearnings and hunger to be religious, but they have no hunger for the truth. You give them the Bible, they almost throw up. It's like smelling salts to them. But they're very religious. They want to be religious. And they're very involved, highly involved in the cult down the street. But they want nothing to do with the truth. But they're very religious. Walter Martin said, I'm glad they're down there. Because if they weren't in that building down there altogether, they would be in your church here and now. And I never forgot that. But look, Peter's words to us, he's warning us that people, will grow up or come up, rise up in the midst of us. So church, listen, we're a family. If somebody you know is walking around this campus saying stuff that's not true biblically, we need to know. That's what pastors do. We go after wolves. And they come all the time. Sometimes, look, there's been times your car, you're in here safe and sound. Your poor car is out there in the parking lot. And cult people come and put stuff in your windshield. Now, we've got guys out there, shooters that are, I mean, we have spotters. So look, I know that next week there might be half the size of the church here at Second Service. I just want you to know that's a good thing. Father, we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that the Church of God has never been called to a popularity contest. You never said that one of the prophecies of the last days is that the church would have a Facebook account. You never told us to wait for Twitter to arrive, and you never were ever dependent upon YouTube. Father, we praise and thank you that you're the God that when China built a wall, you stepped right over it. When the Iron Curtain went up, you went through. And even today in our America that says we have freedom of speech, it's a perception. But the Holy Spirit obeys no ungodly laws. So, Lord, I pray that you'd bless every one of these that's in this building today, that you'd empower them by your Holy Spirit, that you'd send them out into this world with truth, light, and love. And, Father God, that if there's anyone here among us right now that is honestly ignorant, like Apollos was before meeting up with Ananias, with Priscilla and Aquila, that can be fixed. There could be a real believer who's doctrinally off and because they just don't know. That can be fixed. But if there's a man or a woman in this place that is willfully known to have rejected your truth, to infiltrate and to deceive, then we invite you, Holy Spirit, to cleanse and to prepare and to purge this church, Lord, from false believers that seek to deceive. This is your church. You bought it with your blood. We belong to you. And we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the empty tomb in Jerusalem. We thank you. We pray that you'll come back any day now, please. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you.